Dave and Ryan's movie review and action.
Everyone loves going to the movies. And while some are amazing, some are awful. Fortunately, we have Dave and Ryan, two guys with nothing better to do than watch movies of today and movies of yesterday. So get your popcorn ready, silence your phones, and relax, because the show is about to begin.
Cue Dave and Ryan in 3, 2, 1.
It's Dave and Ryan's movie review.
Sponsored by nobody.
Welcome in to Dave and Ryan's movie review, take 115.
Can I buy 150?
You need about 250.
250?
Ah.
250.
The Loch Ness Monster. Ryan, how's your week?
Super duper.
It's been busy.
Really? Last week was busy for me.
Last week was busy for you.
This week was not so much.
Yeah, you've got no fights, and you've got a football bye. So you got nothing going this weekend, which is nice for you.
Yeah, a nice relaxing weekend.
It is. I've got, you know, we just got back from Moab last night for a football game.
Yeah.
And then tonight we'll be up giving stuff away.
Ooh.
Up at the Helper Vibes.
Let's give it all away.
I think so. I think we should.
If they don't give the hot tub away and it's not there, don't look at my house.
Okay. I was wondering if we get to keep it.
Yeah!
Or I've talked about the fact that maybe we should just get one for when we get the new building.
Yes!
And have a really nice patio area.
Company hot tub.
Right. So let's, goodness gracious, we got a lot to get through today.
Do we?
I don't know. I like to make it sound that way.
You make it sound like we do a lot more work than we actually do.
I don't know about that, but it's there.
I show up, I sit down, I sing into the microphone before we start. You tell me to shut up, and then we start the show.
All right, then there we go. You ready? Let's go to Hollywood.
Welcome to Hollywood Boulevard, the place of glitz, glamour, and dreams. Just kidding. This place is a dump. That's why Dave and Ryan come here each week. You get the news from Hollywood without fearing for your life on the Walk of Fame. It's This Week in Hollywood.
So, not a lot going on in Hollywood this week. One thing that came up that was rather interesting, and we'll probably do a reaction to this one. I know I'm going to say the name wrong because it's anemone.
Anemone.
I don't know. Anemone. Anyway, it's a trailer for the return of Daniel Day-Lewis. Took 8 years off.
Anemone?
I don't know.
But you can't go wrong with Daniel Day-Lewis.
He
gets super into his roles. He takes method acting to a whole new level.
He truly does. And the cool thing about this, I think the only way they got him to come back, this movie marks the directorial debut of his son.
Ooh.
Ronan Day-Lewis. Now, not a lot is known about it. It looks like there's... from the trailer, and we haven't seen the trailer yet. Like I said, we'll probably do a reaction to it. It's billed as an exploration of a complex and profound ties that exist between brothers, fathers, and sons. Okay.
Yeah, we will see how that goes.
We'll see how it all plays out. Favorite Daniel Day-Lewis movie, go.
I like Gangs of New York, and I also like There Will Be Blood.
Gangs of New York was a good one. I am a sucker, though. I really liked Last of the Mohicans.
Yeah, it was all right.
That was a great, great movie. Better book, though. Aren't they always?
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it'll be interesting and good to see him up on the screen. I still have yet to see Lincoln.
That was a hard watch for
me.
It was just so long.
Yeah, and he knew how it was going to end.
But he did look like Lincoln.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He did, definitely. Definitely. All right. From one extreme to the next, Orlando Bloom hopes... Pirates of the Caribbean gets everybody back for the new film. That's the way to win, he says. There is a script being written for a reboot of the Pirates franchise. And Bruckheimer himself said that if the script is good, he feels that Johnny Depp will come back.
What else is there to do for his story?
Well, it's a reboot, though.
Well, if Orlando Bloom wants everyone back...
How can you reboot it?
Yeah, it can't be a reboot if the same characters are in there.
So it's got to be a continuation of a story somewhere.
Yeah, I know in the last one, it was Barbossa's kid, if I remember correctly.
I can't remember.
And they were, you know, they had Jesus part the Red Sea, and they were swinging around.
No, that's the Ten Commandments, dude.
No, that was also in Pirates of the Caribbean.
You're probably right. But, yeah, I don't know. They were a fun bunch of movies, but have we moved on from that type of blockbuster?
I just don't know where they could go with those same characters.
Yeah.
Like I said, I know in the last one, I'm pretty sure it was Bobosa's daughter, and then either that movie or the one before that, there was, what is Orlando Bloom's character? Turner?
Yeah.
His kid with Elizabeth Swann.
Yeah.
They had a kid, but I could see maybe those two teaming up and doing something, but I just don't see where the original characters, their stories continue.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know. I agree. Where are you going
to
go?
But it's also hard to imagine the Pirate of the Caribbean movies without Jack Sparrow.
Oh, definitely.
It's some they had one of those, didn't they?
No. He's been in all of them. They remember they're playing around with, and the script is still out there of a Pirates of the Caribbean movie with Margot Robbie.
Okay.
And that one is still kind of floating around out there. But yeah, it just doesn't work without Captain Jack, I don't think.
Yeah, he's the main, you know, when you think of Pirates of the Caribbean, instantly Jack Sparrow.
It's like a King Kong movie.
My nephew has dedicated many hours into Jack Sparrow costumes, and if they don't go forward, you know, it's going to be funny to see him cry, but it's also going to be sad.
It will be.
About 50-50. Maybe 60-40.
60-40.
85-15. 90-10.
Okay. Are we talking about ground beef, or are we talking about... But yeah, I think it's difficult. It'd be difficult to kind of move forward without it. I without him, I don't think it works. I really don't. Now, if he cameos in it, is that really counting it and cluing it in?
It depends on the cameo.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see what becomes of it, because yeah, they are writing a script right now. And as I said, Jerry Bruckheimer has said that if the story is good and the script is good, he believes Johnny Depp will come back.
They can't change his character.
No.
He can't become a mentor.
And the other part of it is Keira Knightley, that was Elizabeth Swann, wants nothing to do with these movies anymore. She says her experience was so bad with those, and it was mostly just because you're on location for years at a time. You don't know where you're going to go. You don't have a choice as to where you're going to be at. And so she's kind of staved off of these kinds of movies. So how's that going to happen?
I don't know. Throw more money at it. It's Disney.
That's true. We'll just throw more money at it and make it work. I don't know. Just a side note, too, since you brought up Disney. Ray Winstone, that played... did you ever see Black Widow? Did you see that one? That played Taskmaster's father recently came out and said that... and I think we've covered this and had a talk about it on the show. Recently came out and said that these movies, these superhero movies with these huge budgets, make it so that cultural films can't be made. And I think we kind of came to the conclusion that they're one of the main reasons that those kinds of movies get made, aren't it? Isn't it? You've got these big blockbuster movies that used to make money.
Yeah.
And now they don't make as much. But still, when they were making money, that gave the studio more money to throw movie at a passion project or so, something like that, so to speak.
Yes, and I will say this, and it might offend some people, but the general public, when it comes to movies, have gotten dumber.
They have.
You know, you used to have these really amazing films that, you know, were story-driven. And then, you know, you had... And then every once in a while, you'd have, like, a superhero movie or something like that. But those were rare. You maybe got maybe two of those a summer. Other ones were, you know, more story. But now it's totally flip-flop, and you get all these superhero movies where the budget's crazy. You get more special effects and you get the story, and the story is just horrible, and that's why, you know, people are like, oh, the superhero movie's dead. Well, it was never really alive. It was just kind of floating down the river until it hit a dam.
Well, and the other part of it too that we've talked about is, I don't know as though it's dead. I just think that people want good stories.
Yeah,
but as you said, people are just used to being spoon-fed certain things.
Yeah.
There's like this formula.
They don't want to sit down. They don't want to think about it. That's why, you know, you get one of these really good story-driven movies that come out, and they're like, oh, it's the dark horse of the summer. No. The superhero movies are just so big and overshining everything else that people, you know, they're like moths to the flame. They just stare at it.
Yes, and I think we're going to cover a couple of Dark Horse movies of the summer here in just a minute. You ready?
Let's do it.
All right. Box office prediction for this week. The movie is Honey Don't. This stars Mark McQuarrie. It also stars Aubrey Plaza and Chris Evans. A very small budget on this movie and a very small prediction for the week. $3 to $4 million. What do you, where you want to land on that one?
Oh, I don't know.
You got
know.
A couple of big stars in it.
Who's in it?
Mark McQuarrie.
Yeah.
Aubrey Plaza and Chris Evans is in it.
It's going to be hard. You know, Chris Evans is good, but I don't think he's going to draw that many people in his...
He's not Captain America in this
no,
one.
No. So that's why I'm going to say 2.5.
Okay, I'm going with 3. So we'll see where it lands. All right. Okay, box office week ending August 17th. At number 5, it's The Bad Guys 2, bringing in $7.5 million, bringing its total to $57.2 million. The Fantastic Four First Steps is at number 4. See what I did there? $9 million, bringing its total to $247.2. Nobody 2 we're going to hold off on. That was our prediction from last week. Freakier Friday holds at number 2 with $14.2 million, bringing its total to $54.5. And Weapons at $2.4 million, bringing its total, or $24.4, excuse me, bringing its total to $88.5. Weapons wins the week. I think that could be a quiet dark horse movie for this summer. Just coming out, you know, last week, and people seem to really, really be enjoying the story.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, they put out these type of, not necessarily horror movies, but these scarier type of movies like this during the summer where you're not really used to seeing, you know, people kind of associate scary movies with the fall. So throwing that out there, you know, yeah, of course it's going to do good because it's something different than a superhero movie.
Right.
Even though we really haven't had a whole lot like we have in the past, but, there, you know, we still had, what, 2, 3 this summer?
3 this summer. Yeah, yeah, if you go back to May. So, but no, I'm actually kind of, I haven't seen it yet. I really would like to see Weapons. It looks really, really good.
I'm going to pass.
You're going to pass? That's fine. All right. So our box office prediction last week, as I said, Nobody 2, they were given it $10 to $12 million. Ryan, you said?
I gave it 4 just because I didn't really know a whole lot about this.
And I gave it $8 million, and it comes in at 9.2. So just under what their projection was. And just over where I had it. And we are actually going to review that movie here in just a moment. I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was a fun time in the movie theater. So we'll talk about that. So there you have it for all of that stuff. So as I said, Nobody 2, we're going to review that. Found an article the other day, so we're going to dive into it a little bit more. Movies that we love that everyone seems to have forgotten. And then did you know that it is the 35th anniversary of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Yes, I did.
So we're going to get, we're going to have pizza, and we're going to ride some skateboards around the studio.
We're going to release some rats in the...
And we're going to be talking about the movie Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles that came out in August of 1990. But when we come back, it's going to be Nobody 2 as we do the review here on Dave and Ryan's Movie Review.
Everyone on set, shut up. Shut up. These two buffoons are about to talk about a new release. Dave and Ryan's Movie Review, Segment 1, Action.
What's more exciting than a brand new release to the movie theater? According to Dave and Ryan, nothing. They're the first to see it, so you're the first to hear about it.
All right, welcome back to Dave and Ryan's Movie Review. I watched the first one and I was like, this is actually a pretty good movie because it's got exactly what I want in it. It's got that gratuitous violence for absolutely zero reason. And the first one, Nobody, was actually pretty good. I believe I caught it on Peacock. It was absolutely free. Yeah, well, if you pay for Peacock, I guess. So when this one came around, I was like, yeah, let's go see this one. I'm talking Nobody 2. Bob Odenkirk is in this one. Christopher Lloyd is in this. RZA is in this. As is Sharon Stone.
Yeah.
And it was, what, about an hour and a half, really?
Yeah, it was pretty good. I never really saw Bob as an action. And he's not really an action hero in this. He's just
a man that's fed up.
Yeah.
But it's in there. I guess he's you could honestly.
What is that old 80s movie?
Falling Down.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Like he's like that character.
You could honestly. I think you could honestly say that this movie was. He's just had enough.
He just wants a vacation.
He really does. Oh, Colin Hanks was in this one too.
Yeah, he was the.
He's been playing kind of
evil sheriff.
He's been playing kind of a dirtbag in movies lately. I don't know if you've ever seen. Well, it's a series on Paramount Plus, The Offer, about the making of The Godfather.
Yeah,
he was a jerk in that one. Anyway, Bob Odenkirk, Hutch Mansell, a former lethal assassin, wants to just get away and go on vacation back to a time when his dad took him and his brother. And they just got away for a little while and goes back to the same spot. And it's not the same as it was.
Well, yes and no. Apparently, the town they go to, I don't remember the name of it. But
Plumerville,
yeah. But it's always been kind of like a high cartel traffic area that's being kind of covered up with a carnival and a water park and stuff like that. So, They go to the town and they get in trouble at the arcade, and what does the sheriff say? The tourists get a free pass or something like that.
Yes,
but yeah, but that's when you get introduced to Mr. Hanks there.
Yep, Sheriff Abel,
and he's just a complete douche.
Tool. He's a tool. He really
he
is.
He plays that part so well.
Yeah.
He wants authority and respect, but everyone just looks at him like, dude, no.
Well, I told my wife, because my wife does have like a niece that cannot stand Tom Hanks. I says, maybe she doesn't like Tom Hanks because she knew what his son was going to become. That's the only excuse that I can come up with.
How can you not like Tom Hanks?
I don't know. That's a story for another show.
Your niece is crazy.
She's weird. But yeah, so... he digs a little deeper. We've got problems with, you know, drugs and all kinds of crazy stuff that go on in this town.
Well, he goes and tries to kind of smooth things out, but things just don't go his way.
No. No, and his son has just as big of a hothead as he does.
A fish eats the tip of his finger.
Yeah.
And then I don't know how he caught the fish, if that was the fish on the bench.
I don't know. I'm not sure either. But, you know, he just gets to the point where he wants to try and, he's always the guy, you know what, he's always the guy that's in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Because he sees things go south, and he knows that he can do something about it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And it's just.
If he's not going to do it, who is?
Right. And so he decides, I'm going to take care of this, and wages an all-out war on this town. Little does he know that there's a young lady, well, not a young lady, but anyway, there's a lady named Ladina that is played by Sharon Stone, who
Psycho.
Is like the mob boss of this town and over the whole operation.
Yes.
And that would be the one knock that I told you. I said, maybe the one knock about this movie is I don't know if it was just Sharon Stone making a character choice or if that's how they wanted her to play it, but she was so over the top as a villain in this movie.
Yeah, well, when they were describing her, when Bob was like, "Oh, what's she like?" and he's describing her, she's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
She is psychotic. She not only will she kill you, she'll drag your family out into the yard, kill them, have you watch them die, and just crazy, crazy lady.
Yeah, and the guy that directed this one, we were talking about him
the
other day. And she does. But the guy that directed this one, and I'm going to slaughter his name. So Timo Jahantos. It's his American debut. And they asked him about Bob Odenkirk. And I think I told you this. He said that he thinks, obviously it couldn't happen, he said. But he thinks Bob Odenkirk would have made an excellent Batman. Because... He has that comedic side to him, and those are usually the ones that have the darkest sides.
I don't see him as Batman just because he has that comedic side.
Mm-hmm.
He can't even when he's trying to be serious, it's not believable.
And man, without even realizing it, we're sneaking our How I Met Your Mother references in there right now, because Bob Odenkirk was on How I Met Your Mother.
Yes, he was.
But yeah, I understand what the director is saying, though, because yeah, you've got to have that duality. And he is really good at flipping a switch in this movie.
Yes.
He can be very concerned. Well, and that's how the first fight in the arcade started. Is one of the guys that was the bouncer, so to speak, at the arcade, as they were walking out, smacked his daughter in the back of the head.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. That was all it took. And he went back in and cleaned house.
I will say, I haven't seen the first one.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really know each character very well. But my favorite character was Christopher Lloyd.
Christopher Lloyd is fantastic in this
movie.
He's
not in it a whole lot.
He's you want to talk crazy.
Yeah. he's the crazy grandpa everybody wants.
He is the one that everybody just says, you know, okay. But no, Christopher Lloyd is great in this one, and he was great in the other one. His brother RZA is great in this as well.
Yeah, he makes a small appearance at the end of the film.
You brought a machete to a katana fight, probably my favorite scene in the whole movie. But yeah, it was a good movie. It wasn't a great movie, but it was a good movie. I got out of it what I wanted to. And as I said, if you enjoy movies, if you're a child of the 80s and 90s like I am, and you enjoy movies that are like gratuitous violence and
don't you mean 70s and 80s?
Well, anyway. but you like movies that are like that, that are violent, and it's like almost to the point that it's so over the top that it's kind of humorous and in a dark comedy sort of a way. This is a good movie for you.
Yeah.
So I am going to say, I'm giving this one 3.5 buckets. I liked it that much. 3.5 out of 5 buckets of popcorn. It was a good flick. Go see this one.
Yeah, it was definitely good. Like I said, Christopher Lloyd, for me, made the film. I'm going to have to give this one, I'm just going to give it a solid 3.
3? Okay, I can get behind that. But yeah, great movie. It's in theaters now. Go see this one. Nobody 2, starring Bob Odenkirk. And one of the best things about the movie, other than the movie itself, it's like an hour, 29 minutes, you're out.
Yeah, you're not going to be sitting there for hours going, I have to pee, I have to pee, I have to pee.
It was fantastic. I told my wife, I said, the movie starts at 5:30. I should be home before 7:30. And I was.
Yay.
So that's always a good time.
Because you went to the family night.
And I had to stop here at the station, even on top of everything else. So, all right, when we come back, you got a movie out there that you really love that you try and tell people about, and they're like, I don't even remember this movie. I've got one or two. And they even made this list. So we're going to talk about that here when we come back on Dave and Ryan's Movie Review.
Hey, idiots. We're back from commercial. Dave and Ryan's Movie Review, Segment 2, and action.
Welcome back to Dave and Ryan's Movie Review. We're going to talk about movies that we love, and that when we talk to other people about it, they're like, huh? I don't even know this movie.
Yeah, I get that look up from a lot of people when I talk about films I like. They look at me like, what?
And I think the first one we're going to talk about, this was a fun movie for me, and I think I know why a lot of people don't remember this movie. Down Periscope.
I enjoyed this movie. I went and saw this movie in theaters.
Kelsey Grammer, Rob Schneider, Lauren Holly's in this one. But I think the thing that confused people about Down Periscope is Sergeant Bilko came out the same year.
Yeah.
The one and with Steve Martin.
If I remember, I believe McHale's Navy also came around either before or after.
I can't remember McHale's Navy, but yeah, because I just had to look that up. I'm like, that was the reason, was that Bilko came out. And Bilko was a good movie, too. Don't get me wrong. 97, so it came out the next year. McHale's Navy did. But it's got Kelsey Grammer in it. He is given a submarine, let's be honest, has seen better days.
Yes. Well, this movie, you said it came out in 96. 96?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a modern day Navy. They got, you know, nuclear submarines, and they're given an old World War II submarine.
It runs on diesel fuel.
Yeah, diesel, loud as heck, easily to spot, but.
Yep, it's got Patton Oswalt's in this one. Rip Torn is in this. As I said, Harland Williams.
I don't remember Patton Oswalt being in this.
He was. Hang on.
Oh, he was on the other ship.
Stingray. He was the radio guy on the Stingray on their ship. Harry Dean Stanton was in this. and Lauren Holly. I liked it.
No, the radio guy on their ship, it was I want to say Schwimmer.
No, Rob Schneider was the executive officer on the boat.
No, not Schneider, Schwimmer.
Oh.
The guy who played was in Martian Man.
Harlan Williams?
No, Schwimmer.
David Schwimmer?
Yeah, I swear he was in this.
No, he's not in this one. Sorry.
I swear he was in that one.
But and William H. Macy's in this as well. So there is quite a cast. But yeah, it was a fun movie, and
what
think
am I thinking of?
I don't know. I think that's one of the reasons that people forgot about it, though, was because Bilko came out the same year, and then yeah, McHale's Navy came out the year after.
Okay.
So, Flight of the Navigator. I remember this movie came out when I was in junior high. You probably weren't even born yet, sir. but it was a movie that was just, you know what, every time you had a party in junior high, you got to watch this one. Because it was a clean Disney movie.
I didn't care for it at all.
Yeah, but no, it was pretty good.
My older sister loved this movie, and uh-huh. I never got into it. It was pointless to me. Because, you know, as a young kid, you want to see action and cool things, but this is just a kid sitting in a chair talking to a little
eyeball.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love on some of these articles, this is a Ranker article. I don't know if you read any Ranker things, but they rank it where it falls on other lists that they've come up with. The number one on 12 children's movies where parents lived through a nightmare while their kids had an adventure. That's a pretty specific topic, don't you think?
Yeah.
also ranked as the number 3 on their list of underrated sci-fi movies about time travel, and number 5 on the 24 most underrated movies of alien movies. So, yeah, it was pretty good. I remember that one. Batteries not included. I'm going to let you take this one because I've only seen bits and pieces of this one.
I really like this one. So it's about, it takes place in, I think, Brooklyn or one of the New York suburbs, and it's in an old, decrepit neighborhood where a big corporation's trying to buy out the neighborhood to build a strip mall. But there's this one building that just won't sell out, and the tenants in there are trying to rebuild the building. And there is the company hires like a thug to kind of scare him out, and he's doing what he can, and then these little saucer aliens, flying aliens, they come down and they first start living in the pigeon coop up on top of the building, and then they slowly start repairing the building, and they have little baby robots, and basically they become friends with all the tenants, and then at the end of the movie, the thug goes to burn down the building. But he's kind of had a change of heart. And so at the end, the building does eventually get burnt down, but they had insurance out on it. So it's a good film. I can understand why a lot of people haven't seen it. The cast in it is a lot of the same people that were in the movie Cocoon.
Okay.
So
a lot of older folk in this
yep.
one. Okay. Number 4, one of my favorites, actually, because I just have a thing about John Cusack, Gross Point Blank.
I don't think I've seen this one.
This is the one where he goes to a 10-year class reunion. He's been gone. And after high school, he left and joined the Army. And then when he got out of the Army, he became a hired assassin. So he goes back to his 10-year class reunion, rekindles a relationship with Minnie Driver. Jeremy Piven is in this one as a friend of his. But and then Dan Aykroyd is in this. His sister plays his secretary in this movie. It's a lot of fun. And really, because what ends up happening is he decides, I can't remember if he botches an assassination attempt that somebody else was trying to do or something goes down. But then they send assassins to kill him at his class reunion. So it's a pretty fun movie. It really is. And number 5, I don't know how anybody could forget A Fish Called Wanda. That is such a great movie. It's not a Monty Python movie, but it's got your usual characters there. The usual suspects are there. Throw in Kevin Kline and throw in Jamie Lee Curtis as well in this one. John Cleese plays a judge that falls in love with Jamie Lee Curtis. And Eric Idle is in this one And I think my favorite line from the whole movie is when Kevin Klein looks at him and goes, "Oh no, Can is gonna kill me," because Eric Idle has a stutter in the movie. It's a great movie. I loved it. And then if you're gonna watch that one, you got to turn around and watch Fierce Creatures.
Yes,
you've got to. There's no way around it. Let's see what else is on here. Enemy Mine. This was Louis Gossett Jr. and I believe, what is it, Dennis Quaid was in this one together.
I can understand why people forget about it, because The Last Starfighter came around about the same time.
Yeah, I think so.
And this one's just basically about a human and an alien who were fighting each other, crash landed on this planet, and are waiting for rescue.
And now they got to survive.
Yeah.
They got to lean on each other to survive. So, yeah, not too bad. The Cutting Edge was D.B. Sweeney. He was a hockey player that comes back to and wants to go to the Olympics, so he becomes a figure skater. That's funny.
Yeah, that's also like Hallmark movies in the early 2000s.
It is. This one, this could be a remote dropper, so I Married an Axe Murderer. I love this movie.
It had its moments.
This was probably the movie that gave Mike Myers an idea for Austin Powers, because he plays a couple of different characters in this one. He plays his dad.
Yeah, the head one, he's talking to the grandson, the ginger kid.
Yeah.
Look at the melon on that kid.
That's right. And the mom who considers the World Weekly News as the paper.
Yeah.
Anthony LaPaglia is in this one. And Arkin is in this as Adam or Alan. Alan Arkin, I believe, is the it's one of the two of them that plays the chief.
I don't remember. I think it's Alan.
And he goes to him and talks to him, because Anthony LaPaglia is a police officer, and he's a little bit down that day. And so he tells the chief, "You know, one of these days, I just want you to come in, and I want you to chew me out, because I did this wrong, and I did this wrong." And so he works on it, and, you know, throughout the rest of the movie, after that conversation, he basically pulls out a script and tells him what's going on with this guy. And it's just funny. Nancy Travis is in it as well. It's a pretty good flick. It really and truly is. I love that one. And then Strange Brew. Seriously.
Strange Brew is weird.
It is.
It's about two Canadian buddies.
Who two beer drinking brothers. Beer,
and they go to the brewery of their favorite beer, and things just get weird.
They do.
There's like a weird hockey scene for just like no reason.
Uh-huh. But no, it's Bob and Doug McKenzie. It is Rick Moranis, and I believe it was Dave Thomas was his name.
Yeah.
But they did a whole bunch through the 80s as this two-brother combo from Canada. Had a couple of hit songs, actually, even. And, great movie. And it takes place in Elsinore.
Yeah, well, if I remember, the two brothers came from a skit show.
Yeah, they were on, it was SCTV.
Yeah.
I believe.
It was basically like their SNL before.
Yes. Yeah. And if you've ever seen the movie Brother Bear, they are the voice of the moose in Brother Bear, both of them.
Okay.
Pretty cool, though. Pretty cool. But no, it takes place in the town of Elsinore, and every time we drive through there, my wife has to go coo 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 coo. So, now you know. It's my dirty little secret.
Okay.
Sorry. I apologize for that one. I don't even like to talk about those ones. The other movies on here, Mouse Hunt with Nathan Lane and Lee Evans, Christopher Walken. Then the Pink Panther Strikes Again. We are getting a new Pink Panther movie. I don't know if you've heard that. Eddie Murphy will be taking the place as Inspector Clouseau. He confirmed that the other day. Murder by Death.
Would you like to buy a hamburger? I want to do the hamburger. You can't replace Steve Martin.
And number 16 on the list, a movie that still frightens me to this day.
Uh-oh.
That we are getting a live-action remake of. Supposedly, there's one in the pipeline, The Last Unicorn.
Oh, that! I hope they don't mess it up, because it's not necessary. It's an 80s kid movie.
It definitely is.
Which is an entire genre within itself.
Yes.
Because 80s kids movies, they could be over-the-top scary. They could be really messed up. Basically, if you didn't have come out with like some sort of trauma watching 80s films, kids films, then there's just no helping you.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
Like when Atreyu dies, or the horse in Never Ending Story.
Okay.
Atreus was the guy trying to pull him.
Yep. I don't know.
I don't remember.
I'm drawing a blank on Never Ending Story.
You never saw Never? Get out. Get out of the studio, Dave. People, we are rallying at Dave's house later tonight, and we are going to stab him.
We're
going to treat him like Frankenstein. We're coming with pitchforks and torches, and we're gonna stab and burn you, Dave.
It's Frankenstein's monster, by the way.
You want to know what?
What?
Get out.
Zathura, a space adventure, which was actually supposedly a sequel to Jon Favreau's Jumanji.
That movie was stupid.
The space adventure, yeah. I remember Fly Away Home. If I remember correctly, Fly Away Home was based on a real story.
I don't.
The girl with the geese and her dad built the flyer.
Yeah. She's like in a go-kart flyer.
Yeah. Fatal Instinct, horrible movie. It was a spoof movie of, obviously, Basic Instinct. But those are just some of them. And, you know, they're good movies. They're fun to watch.
Yeah.
And some of them not so fun, really. To be honest,
the books were good.
The books were better. The books were better. All right, when we come back, we're going to close out the show talking about the 35th anniversary of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Hit the big screens in 1990 in August. We're going to talk about that when we return on Dave and Ryan's Movie Review.
All right, imbeciles, everyone quiet down. Dave and Ryan's Movie Review, segment 3, and action.
To close out the show, this month marks the 35th anniversary of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Can you believe it's been 35 years?
We're talking about the original live-action movie,
1990
not the
movie.
Actual cartoon.
That's right. Now, you know, one of the first things people look at and question when they ask about movies like this is, was it a box office success? Yes, it was. This movie grossed over $200 million worldwide on a budget of $13.5 million.
Yeah, and that's why they made three of them.
It was the highest-grossing independent film at the time. And it was knocked off by another movie that you can't stand. Can you think of what it was?
What year did this come out? 90? I don't know.
A found footage movie.
Is that when Blair Witch came out?
Blair Witch came out in like 96 or 97. It was late 90s. But until that movie came out, this one held the record for the highest grossing independent film.
You're going to have to throw me a bone here, Dave.
Blair Witch.
I said Blair Witch.
Well, I wasn't arguing with you.
Wait, Blair Witch came out in...
It was in the late 90s.
Wait, the way you said it made it sound like it came out the same year.
Oh, no. I said it was the highest grossing independent film at the time of its release until this movie came out later, what I said.
Okay.
So, yeah, and we all know how you feel about that movie.
You confused me, Dave.
Oh, I did it on purpose.
Yeah, Blair Witch, not one of my favorite.
I know. And it's because it's scary, though, huh?
Yeah,
is that what it is? So, anyway, everybody knows the story of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Four teenage turtles that, thanks to the ooze, are given amazing powers.
Well, no. I wouldn't say it gave them powers.
Well, it didn't give them powers. Well, what else would you call turning them into a humanoid?
Mutation.
Okay.
Hence the word
mutant. And then, of course, they were picked up and raised by, what else are you going to find in a sewer? A rat. They got into the ooze as well.
Yes.
And some of my favorite scenes are when they're training and it shows little Shredder or little Master Splinter doing his moves.
Yeah.
And it's just, because there were parts of this movie that the effects aren't that great. Of course, granted, it was 35 years ago.
Yeah,
though.
And the cool thing about this is Jim Henson worked on
Yes, he did. A lot of it. And, you know, the other cool thing about this, there are some people hiding in this cast.
Oh, yeah.
That you may not realize.
But at the time, they were just starting out.
Yes. Now, there is a rumor. I believe it was a lot of people think that Corey Feldman was the voice of Donatello in this movie. He was not.
No, it was the second one.
Yeah, he was not the voice of Donatello in this one. However, the one that, I went through the list and there's a few names that jump out. The one that jumps out at me the most, and this was really one of his first movie roles, is Sam Rockwell.
Yeah, he played the main thug.
Yep, he was a thug in this one. And it kind of threw me that he was in this. Judith Hogue was in this one. And she was friends with Robin Williams, who loved this movie.
Yep.
And basically talked her into doing it. I can never say his last name correctly, but the guy that played Casey Jones, Elias Koteas, he was great in this one.
And he's on Law and Order right now?
What the heck is he on? I know you're.
He plays like a serious raunchy
Chicago PD.
Yeah, Chicago PD.
Yeah,
it's crazy to think that he was Casey Jones.
Yes, yes, it was,
because he played like a lovable goof, Casey Jones.
He did. He was a lovable idiot.
And now you see him, and he's just like a stern,
and
tough guy.
You know, he had one of my favorite lines in the whole movie. You're a claustrophobic. You want to eat a fist? I've never even looked at another man in my entire life. But this was just, it was a fun movie. It was a teenage movie. I remember it came out the year that it was the summer I had just graduated from high school.
I was in kindergarten.
And you were in kindergarten. And it was a great time at the movie theater. It really was. Because, well, they started out as comics.
Yeah.
And I believe if I can remember correctly, the first what made them unique when the comics first came out is none of them were in color, were they? I think
no.
They were all black and white.
No, and they all look like mean.
Yeah,
they all like this. Yeah, type
and
of face.
And we've come quite a ways with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It is now a worldwide phenomenon that has cartoons, and I believe we're even going to get. Jordan told me. Well, I can't repeat what Jordan said when I told him I really would like to see the Ronin movie.
Meh.
He says he said that it had everything to do with the fact that adults don't deserve to go see these movies. They're for kids. They shouldn't be coming out with movies like that. I'm like, okay, I can buy into that. I can, but
yes and no. When it first came out, they were kids, but their original kid audience base has grown.
Yes, it's gotten older.
So yes, like with the last animated movie that came out, that one definitely for kids.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of adults who went and saw it because it's Ninja Turtles that they grew up with and they didn't like it. Well, it's not made for you because the kids today are different than kids when you were a kid.
Yeah, we went and saw that movie and I did not care for it at all, and I was just completely chastised by you and Jordan both.
Yeah, it's made for kids now.
Yes.
The way they spoke, the things that they were doing in the film was what kids do today.
Yes, and did we get another one in that line?
No, I think they were.
Or they were going to?
Yeah, but I don't think anything has been stated yet.
So, but yeah, it's just grown, and get out there. It's a Fathom event right now. You can find tickets for this weekend and go see it if you want to go see it in theaters, because it is a fun time in the theaters. I will be totally honest with you on that one. Yeah. It really and truly is. So get out there, find it, watch it. It's a good time. Whether you like the Ninja Turtles or not, take your kids.
I would not recommend watching the third one.
The third one was which one?
Where they went back in time.
Oh, yeah, that one was good.
That was so bad.
That one was not good. All right, that's going to do it. Made it through another week.
Yeah!
Yippee-ki-yay. And next week, we're going to have, I believe, our summer wrap-up show.
Aww.
We'll talk about the summer movie theaters and the how it did, the box office was, and the movies that we went and saw over the summer. How's that sound?
Let's do it.
All right, until then. Go see a movie.
And that brings us to the end of this week's journey. But don't worry, Dave and Ryan have more movies to watch and more opinions to spew next week. You can relive today's episode at CastleCountryRadio.com. Thanks for joining us on Ryan and Dave's Movie Review.
Ah, the hell with it. Send it in, we're done. See you next week.